Good morning. The reading this morning is from Luke chapter 22, verses 24 to 30. Who is the greatest? A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at the table or one who serves? It is not the one who reclines at the table, but I am among you as the one who serves. You are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit at the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
で白石秀子です。ルカの福音書22章24節から30節を日本語でお読みします。また、彼らの間で私たちのうちで誰が一番偉いのだろうかという議論も起こった。すると、イエスは彼らに言われた。異邦人の王たちは人々を支配し、また人々に対し権威を持つ者は守護者と呼ばれています。しかし、あなた方はそうであってはいけません。あなた方の間で一番偉い人は一番若い者のようになりなさい。上に立つ人は給仕する者のようになりなさい。食卓につく人と給仕する者とどちらが偉いでしょうか。食卓につく人ではありませんか。しかし私はあなた方の間で給仕する者のようにしています。あなた方は私の様々な試練の時に一緒に踏みとどまってくれた人たちです。私の父が私に王権を委ねてくださったように、私もあなた方に王権を委ねます。そうしてあなた方は私の国で私の食卓について食べたり飲んだりし、王座についてイスラエルの十二の部族を治めるのです。
Well, good morning, everyone. It's an honor to be with you this morning. And it's also a special delight that my wife and I can team up today. She's doing the translation. I'm going to try to stick to this strip, which is really, for me, a difficult thing. But I want things to go well at home later, so the script it is. Well, 5 weeks ago, Lee was the leadoff batter in our series, Becoming a Servant of All. So I guess that makes me the cleanup batter. So I'm going to do my best to clear the bases, get everybody home, and so appreciate your prayers during this time. Lee invited us to follow, listen to, and trust our servant leader, the leader, Jesus. Todd reminded us that those who commit to service will suffer, but we're not alone. God is with us, and when we are weak, then he is strong. Duichi showed us that prayer is the key to empowering us for service. And he shared from his own work experience the 5 years that he led a research team. And through that time, God answered many prayers, gave wisdom, brought unity, and they were published in the end, so they had success. And last week, Debbie highlighted the talents and gifts that God gives each and every one of us. Talents that God expects us to be using to serve one another, the body of Christ, and the world around us. And as Debbie says, no pretenders allowed. Well, I invite you to think with me for a moment about your favorite restaurants. What is your favorite restaurant? And you're gonna say Ruchita's, right? Of course, of course. That's my favorite Indian restaurant, no doubt about it. So what is your favorite restaurant and why is it your favorite restaurant? I'm going to guess at least three things come to mind. Good food, good prices, and good service. Are you with me? All right. Well, I want to show you a nice shot of my favorite restaurant. I'm an easygoing guy. Give me a cheeseburger and fries, and I'm very content and happy. In-N-Out is based out of Southern California. They started in the mid-40s, and from the get-go, they basically had three core values: good or fresh food, good prices, and good service. They even have a university that all their management goes to, and they're trained in these three core values. Then they go back and in turn train their employees. No matter where you go, when you go to an In-N-Out, you are going to receive excellent, superb customer service. Always with a smile, always engaging the customer, always a good experience. Well, today I've entitled my message, Serve Like Jesus. How many want to serve like Jesus? All right. Well, with God's help, we're going to do this. I want to invite you to turn back to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verses 24 through 30. I'm going to be working through the New Living Translation. You might have another translation in front of you. Let's compare notes and study together and have some fun. While you're turning to that passage, let me give you a little background on this scripture. The religious leaders and teachers are plotting and conspiring how they might kill Jesus. Judas is contemplating an invitation to conspire with them and to hand Jesus over to them. Now Jesus is gathered with his disciples for a meal together. We know this as the Last Supper. Up to this point, Jesus has predicted his death and suffering three times in detail. And now, over dinner, he pauses and says, "One of you around this circle will betray me." The disciples are shocked, and they look around like, "Who is it?" And then they even ask, "Is it I, Lord?" That's for about 30 seconds before the conversation shifts to an argument they begin having. So what was the argument? Let's turn to verse 24 and find out. "And they," the disciples, "began to argue among themselves as to who would be the greatest among them." This is very embarrassing, I think, at face value. And wouldn't you say it's a bit insensitive of them as well? Up to this point, Jesus has talked about his soon suffering and that he will die at the hands of sinners. And here they are having an argument about who amongst them will be the greatest. But maybe you could appreciate the fact that they needed some assurance. Their world was soon to turn upside down. They had been walking faithfully with Jesus all this time, and they expected to rule and reign with him in his coming kingdom. So they wanted to know who would be promoted to the highest positions. And interestingly, in this scenario, Jesus doesn't scold the disciples as they clamor for promotion and position. Now, Jesus had rebuked them in the past, "Ye of little faith," or "Get thee behind me, Satan." But instead, here he seems to meet them on their terms. In essence, he's saying, "Okay, you want to be great? Let's look at what true greatness is." Verse 25 reads, Jesus told them, "In this world, the kings and the great men lord it over their people, yet they're called friends of the people." I recently read an article published by Rutgers Business School about one of the co-founders of Apple, Steve Jobs. I think we all know who Steve Jobs was and is. It stated that Jobs' leadership style was autocratic and authoritarian. And it went on to say that it's well known that Steve Jobs could be arrogant, dictatorial, and mean-spirited in his leadership approach. Now, how many of you own an Apple product? All right, I'm with you as well. We're a family of four, and we counted 12 devices. And my son reminded me, "Dad, I'm betting that you're typing your sermon, today's sermon, on an Apple device," and he was correct. So collectively, in looking around this room, along with 1 billion other people on the planet, we would all say Steve Jobs is our friend and was our friend. The article wrapped up by kind of downplaying Jobs' leadership style because he was a gifted visionary And in the end, he produced a product that the world needs and wants. But Jesus was saying, this is the norm in the world. Verse 26, but among you, among the disciples, among those who will follow Christ in the future, Christ ones, Christians, among you, it will be different. Not it might be different or casting visions of what it could be like. No, it will be different with you. Those who are the greatest among you shall take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. One, I think, beautiful and simple yet profound truth just jumps off the page at me when I read these verses. And it's simply this: to serve is to be great in God's eyes. To serve is to be great in God's eyes. The Message translation of verse 26 reads like this: let the senior among you become like the junior. When I read that phrase, I immediately thought of, in our Japanese context, senpai kohai. And so I think we have a picture of our senpai kohai friends somewhere along here. And I only pause. I think we need to go back. Well, I guess they're not there. But anyway, it was a picture of a senpai and a kohai at a party, and the kohai was pouring his boss some mugicha. And I just wanted everyone to rest assured, at those parties, they all drink mugicha because it's very healthy. So anyway, with that said, from this passage, this one verse, we want to draw our 2 points for today. Number one, think young. Think young. Be like the youngest. This is really talking about an attitude, to take on the attitude of a willing servant. When Lee opened up the series 5 weeks ago, he preached from the same account in the Gospel of Mark. There, at this point, to illustrate this point, Jesus invites a young child into their midst and says, in essence, be like this child. And what did he mean by that? Anyone who's spent time with little children, whether you have them in your home right now or you're empty nesters and you had them at one time, or you're a teacher or you have done some babysitting, you know that young children love to help. They love to serve. They're always up for the challenge. They're always eager to help, are they not? And Jesus had that child right there and said, be like that. I know you're all growing up and you're doing your grown-up things, but always be like that. Never lose that. You may know the name Toyohiko Kagawa. He's a Christian pastor, social reformer here in Japan in the late 1800s up into the mid-1900s. In his mid-20s, he attended grad school at Princeton. And upon graduation, he was broke and he needed to get back to Japan. So he found a job cleaning these really beautiful, large estates in Princeton, New Jersey. One day he was cleaning an estate and he set off the security alarm. And he didn't know how to turn it off, so the cops show up thereafter. And he had the most difficult time trying to convince the cops that he's a Princeton grad. Because for them, Princeton grad and cleaning homes don't fit in the same category. Well, it's good news that he was able to convince them, make enough money to return home. But guess where Kagawa lived and worked upon his return? The same place he lived prior to leaving, the slums of Kobe, in a 6x6 shack. And there he lived with his wife, and altogether he lived 12 years. Now, what would possess a Princeton graduate to do such a thing? Why would he go to live in the slums and put his life on the line when he had this prestige? He could have been in any university and served. Because he thought young. He had the attitude and the heart of a servant. He had a childlike willingness and desire to serve as Christ served. By the way, in 1946, I discovered that around my age that Kagawa went to the Imperial Palace in Tokyo. And he had an audience with the then Emperor Hirohito. And would you believe he quoted verbatim the words of Christ? Verse 26, probably from the Matthew account. Whosoever will be great among you shall be the servant of all. He went on to speak to the emperor, a ruler's sovereignty, your majesty, is in the hearts of the people. Only by service to others can a man or a nation be small g, godlike. That is so powerful. And yet Kagawa beautifully illustrates to think young this attitude, to have that heart, to serve like a child. And number two, lead by example. So if think young is an attitude, lead by example is the action. Let the leader act the part of a servant. Jesus said in John 13:15, I have set you an example that you should follow. Do as I have done for you. And what was that example that he set forth for his disciples? He put on a towel, he kneeled before them, and he washed their feet, all 12 of them, even Judas, who would betray him. And he said, this is the example set before you, do likewise. I'd like to tell you a story about my bakery. It's my bakery because that's where I go and shop for bread and other good bakery items. But it's also my bakery because that's the name of the bakery, my bakery. The founder of my bakery, are you with me? I should ask. The founder of my bakery only finished high school. He never went on to college. Instead, he studied people's needs, and he decided one need that would never cease to be is eating. Amen? So he said, food. He talked to his father, who suggested that he learn how to bake bread. He followed his father's advice, and 25 years ago, he opened up his first shop. After getting established and making a good living, he began to pass on what he learned to young apprentices. Like himself, just out of high school, no formal education, took him in and raised them up and trained them up. Currently at my bakery, there are 8 bakers, of which some are apprentices. To date, he has helped 2 apprentices open up their own bakeries in Fukushima and Nagano. So here we have the owner of my bakery, in essence, living out this leading by example. Let the leader act out the part of a servant. Verse 27, Jesus continues, who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. So he's just echoing what the world teaches and what we've grown up to understand, that the one at the table is the most important. But again, Jesus says, but not here. For I am among you as one who serves. Paul, writing to the Philippians, described what the service of Jesus looked like. And it beautifully ties together these 2 points. It reflects the attitude and the action of the servant Jesus. Philippians 2:5-8. Your attitude should be the kind that was shown by Jesus Christ, who, though he was God, did not demand and cling to his rights as God, but laid aside his mighty power and glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men. And he humbled himself even further. Here comes the action. Going so far as to actually die a criminal's death on a cross. And now Jesus is wrapping up dinner with his nearest and dearest friends on planet Earth, the disciples. And he ends the night with a twist. Verse 28. You have stayed with me in my time of trial. And just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I now grant you the right to eat and drink with me at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Is that not a twist? So in the end, Jesus honors the disciples' faithfulness to him. Every one of them will join him at the table, and everyone gets promoted to a leadership position. Well, let's now pause and think about how this applies to our own lives as we try to follow Christ and become a servant like Jesus and lead like Jesus. At the outset, I think of that first truth that just jumped off the page at me when I was working through this message, and it is this, I reiterate, to serve is to be great in God's eyes. Maybe you just woke up, maybe it's the only thing you're going to take with you. This is a good thing to take with you. To serve is to be great in God's eyes. But there is more, and here's really the big idea. We are all leaders in some arena of life. You are a leader in some arena of life. It could be family, work, church, community, friends, your arena, your circle of influence. Some of us lead hundreds. We're on a large stage. A lot of people look to us. Some of us aren't even on a platform. We don't have titles or any status. A few follow us, but we are all leaders in that arena, and God has called upon us to be faithful in that arena. I love that Peter not only sat in the circle around Jesus and heard his teaching and saw his example, but later emulated it. And we see this in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. And as you listen to Peter's words, the student of Christ, think about your arena, who you're serving. Who's looking to you, your attitude and example? Peter says, be shepherds of God's flock under your care. Be eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. So given this truth, who are you serving? Who are you leading? And then are you serving and leading like Jesus? Now, none of us does it perfectly, but our heart and desire should be to grow in this area, and God will more than meet us and continue to help us grow. Let's consider how we might leverage our position of leadership to encourage, invest in, and train others up to grow, mature, and bloom. Last week, Debbie talked about her parents who came to Japan as missionaries in Niigata, where they did church planting, and how her dad was out busy doing the church plant thing, and mom was at home raising kids, and she wanted to be used by God. So correct me if I'm wrong, Debbie, but she prayed something to the effect, God, use me, and God's answer was, use what's in your hand. Now, Debbie's application to God's answer was completely different, but when Debbie said that, this was the picture on the screen. So thank you, Debbie, for letting me borrow this again this week. This was the picture on the screen. Use what's in your hand. I immediately thought the answer was going to be, I've given you these beautiful children. Nurture them, love them, serve them, equip them, raise them up to be a servant of all, and then they will do likewise. And even though that wasn't the application last week, that's the application this week. And I believe that her mother was successful. I don't know all Debbie's mother's children, but I know one of her children. And I would say that her mom was a success. Amen? Well, as we close today, I do want to share a few things that I feel the Holy Spirit impressed upon me even just a few days ago as I was kind of tidying up my notes. I want to speak for a moment to those who are gifted to serve, have the gift of service and helps, who always serve, always willing to serve. You live to serve, you love to serve, and you just receive joy in serving others. I want to say to you, first of all, I want to say KBF does an amazing job of acknowledging those who serve in our midst. And I think that's really, really important to have a heart of gratitude and to thank and to honor and lift up those who serve in our midst, especially those behind the scenes who aren't always acknowledged. But maybe you're in a scenario where you're overworked and underappreciated, and yet you still faithfully serve I want you to know, first of all, that we bless you and we're inspired by you. We want you to keep up the good work, keep the pace, keep serving the Lord. But if you found yourself in a moment of questioning and doubt, I want you to know this. And really, I really feel this is God's word for you. God sees your service. He's proud of you. And he's simply saying, keep up the good work. I am with you. My spirit is with you. And amen. But I also want to consider those of us who maybe can't keep up with our current pace. Maybe we're a one-talent person, but we're trying to live in a five-talent world. And the reality is, it's fallen apart in front of us. Others may notice it and don't know what to do. We notice it because we live it every day. And I want you to know this. Here's a gift to you. The world will not end if you say no. Yes, it's true. It may feel like it's that I'm speaking heresy here, but the world will not end if you say no. You can apologize if you like, but so you can simply say thanks, but no thanks. Maybe this is a season for you where you need to let others serve your needs. You'll keep serving because that's in your heart and nature to do, but maybe this is a season where you need to let others serve your needs. And you need to know that's not only okay, but God gives you permission to do that. So consider that. If you're going too fast, it's not a matter like you're giving up the race. You'll continue the race. You're just reevaluating where you're at and needing to slow down a bit so you have a pace that will carry you to the finish line. Now, what does that look like? I'm not sure, depending on where you're serving. It may look like a lot of different things. But let's just say in the home, for example. Let's say you have a lot on your plate in the home, which is probably true. I would invite you to gather your family together and just reaffirm your love and your commitment to them and just say, I'm out of gas. I'm tapped out. I hope my wife can translate that because that's not my notes. And say, I have to give up this, this, and this. Can you pick up the slack? And your family loves you. And of course, they're going to do that. I will say it won't be seamless because whenever somebody's done everything and then suddenly you're asking them to do some of the things that they've always done, it's going to be messy. It's going to take time. But in the end, you're going to find that harmony and you're going to find your pace. You're going to continue to finish the race. And God's blessing is upon that. So I just offer that to you and take it to heart. Well, we close out this series, 5 weeks of thinking about just this one thing of becoming a servant of all. And collectively, as those who have spoken, the leadership and the board of elders here, we want to invite you to follow, to serve, and lead like Jesus, to think young with a humble attitude, and to lead by example in word and deed and love, knowing this, that in God's eyes, you are great as you become a servant of all. Amen. Well, there should be a slide up on the screen for an opportunity that's going to be presented to us very soon at KBF. Really, this whole sermon series was a launch pad, if you will, toward something that KBF feels very strongly about. That is raising up and investing in leaders, and specifically servant leaders. So starting next year, January 17th, 2021, we're going to offer a class here. The focus will be on growing as a servant leader at home, at work, in ministry, and in life. If this is something that interests you, whether you're in the auditorium here or online, we'll probably hold the class here after service, but we'll invite others to join us online. So make sure to see Lee sign up, and you'll know that more details are to follow. Thank you.